Welcome to HN Pod, your daily breakdown of the top stories, trends, and debates from the front page of Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is Monday, March 23rd, 2026, and today we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, March 22nd. This is episode number 343, and we have a really fascinating lineup today.
We definitely do. We are going to talk about a dark humor Minesweeper clone that has the whole community debating geopolitics and AI, a deep dive into why JavaScript dependency trees are still so bloated, and BitTorrent creator Bram Cohen's radical new vision for the future of version control.
Plus, the hilarious irony of a gaming website recommending RSS readers and an article that downloads half a gigabyte of background odds. And finally, Project Nomad, a tool for taking the entire sum of human knowledge completely offline.
Let us dive right into the first one. This was the top story yesterday with over 600 points. It is a web game called Hormuz Minesweeper. With the tagline, "Are you tired of winning?" It is a satirical take on the current conflict in the Strait of Hormuz, where you literally play Minesweeper on a map of the strait. The creator, Pythonic Ninja, added a little twist where mines only spawn on the water.
Right, and while the game itself is just a simple browser toy, it acted as a massive lightning rod for the Hacker News community to discuss the reality of the 2026 war. You know how HN gets. A simple tech project gets posted, and suddenly the comments are a deep philosophical debate about the ethics of modern warfare.
Exactly. The humor in the thread is pretty dark. One user joked about making Minesweeper great again, and another quipped about building a walled garden and making the Linux penguins pay for it. But the conversation took a really serious turn when people started discussing the economic and human costs. Someone asked if winning the game meant we get cheaper gasoline now, which sparked a whole debate about OPEC, oil prices, and geopolitical alliances.
The most intense part of the comment section was definitely the debate over the recent Manob Girls school attack. Users were arguing over whether the double or actually triple top strikes were a tragic mistake or a deliberate act. And this is where the tech angle really came into focus. A lot of commenters pointed out the recent reporting that the military has been using AI for target selection and how departments intended to confirm targets were disbanded last year to remove, quote, stupid rules of engagement.
Yeah, one commenter made a really poignant observation. They said that if you intentionally use an AI targeting system that you know has poor selection capabilities and you remove human validation, you cannot just brush off hitting a school as a simple mistake. You created the system that allowed it to happen. It is a chilling reminder of what happens when the move fast and break things ethos gets applied to military ordnance.
It really is. And it shows how the tech community is grappling with the real-world consequences of the algorithms we build.
Moving from global conflicts to software conflicts, our next story is a great technical read called The Three Pillars of JavaScript Bloat by James Garbutt. It got 455 points. If you have ever run NPM install and watched a black hole of dependencies download to your machine, this article explains exactly why that happens.
Oh man, the node module's black hole. Garbutt points out that a lot of this bloat comes from three main things. First, support for ancient engines like Internet Explorer 6 or early Node versions. Second, protecting against global namespace mutation, where packages import wrapped versions of standard functions just in case some other rogue script redefines what a map or a math function is.
And the third one is cross-realm values, which I found really interesting. If you pass a regular expression from an iframe to a parent window, they do not share the same regex class, so a simple instance of check fails. Because of that, developers pull in entire packages just to check if a variable is a string or a regex.
And Garbutt makes the point that 99% of us do not need any of this. We are running modern Node versions or evergreen browsers, yet we are all paying the performance and bandwidth tax for a tiny fraction of edge cases. He also calls out this atomic architecture trend, where people make a whole NPM package for a single line of code, like converting a value to an array.
The comments on this were a goldmine. A user named Auxiliary Moose talked about how writing dependency-free JavaScript is the way to go now because the modern browser standard library is actually really good. Another user mentioned their site, Plain Vanilla Web, which teaches how to build apps without frameworks.
But there was also a really good counterargument. Someone pointed out that while we don't want millions of one-line packages, we also don't want to go back to the dark ages where everyone builds everything from scratch every single time. There has to be a middle ground. Plus, as one user pointed out, fewer dependencies means fewer supply chain attacks, which is a massive security benefit these days.
Speaking of things developers argue about, let us talk about Git. Our third story is The Future of Version Control, a blog post by Bram Cohen, the legendary creator of BitTorrent. He is releasing a project called Manana, which uses conflict-free replicated data types, or CRDTs, to completely rethink version control.
I loved this piece. Bram argues that traditional version control is broken because of how it handles merges. In Manana, because it uses CRDTs, a merge literally never fails. It is mathematically guaranteed to succeed. Instead of traditional conflict markers that just show you two opaque blobs of text and force you to mentally reconstruct what happened, Manana tracks the structure. It tells you exactly what each person did, like left deleted this function and right added a logging line in the middle.
The comments immediately devolved into a classic Hacker News debate about Git user experience. Some people pointed out that you can actually get better conflict markers in Git today if you turn on the zdiff3 setting, which shows the common base version. But the real pain point everyone agreed on was rebasing.
Oh, rebasing. The endless confusion of ours versus theirs. I laughed out loud at the commenter who said they have 25 years of Git experience and still have to stop and think about what ours means during a rebase, because the base of the operation is reversed compared to a normal merge.
Right. Bram proposes that with CRDTs, you can get the clean, linear history of a rebase without actually destroying the real history, because the state is saved as a single continuous weave of data. A lot of commenters were skeptical that you can just replace Git at this point, but almost everyone agreed that Git leaks way too many of its implementation details into its user interface.
It is so true. We all just memorize the magic incantations to make Git work, and when we get in trouble, we just delete the folder and clone it again. It is refreshing to see someone actually trying to innovate on the fundamental data structures of version control.
Okay, our fourth story is a perfect palate cleanser, and honestly, a bit of a tragic comedy. The headline is, PC Gamer recommends RSS readers in a 37 megabyte article that just keeps downloading. It got over 400 points. A blogger named Stuart Brechenkrieg clicked on a PC Gamer article about RSS readers and noticed his browser was chugging.
Chugging is an understatement. The initial page load was 37 megabytes, but the kicker is he left the page open while he wrote his blog post, and in 5 minutes, the website downloaded almost half a gigabyte of new ads and auto-playing videos in the background, 500 megabytes for a text article.
The irony is just too good. An article about using RSS to escape the bloated, noisy web is itself a prime example of why the modern web is completely broken. But the Hacker News comments took this from a funny observation to a really serious discussion about digital inequality.
Yeah, a user named Xing Charles brought up a fantastic point. They work with low-income folks in the US who rely on government-provided phones. These phones usually come with maybe 3 gigabytes of high-speed data, and then they drop down to 2G speeds. If you open one or two articles like that PC Gamer piece, your entire month of data is gone in a day.
And once you are throttled to 2G, the modern web is essentially unusable. People in the comments were sharing stories about trying to upload a resume or fill out a job application on 2G. The servers have hard-coded timeouts, so the connection just drops before the bloated JavaScript bundles can even load. One user calculated that a 5 megabyte site takes over 16 minutes to load on 2G.
It really highlights the bubble we live in as tech workers. We sit on our gigabit fiber connections and unmetered 5G, building these massive web apps, completely forgetting that for a huge portion of the world, data is a precious, expensive resource. It makes you appreciate the RSS movement even more.
Which brings us perfectly to our final story of the day. If the internet is bloated, expensive, and heavily monitored, why not just download the good parts and take them offline? The story is Project Nomad, knowledge that never goes offline. It got 385 points.
Project Nomad is a free, open-source offline server that you can install on any old PC. It bundles together Wikipedia, OpenStreetMap, Khan Academy, and even local AI models using a llama. It is designed to run completely without the internet. You just download the content packs you want, and you have a local, indestructible library of human knowledge.
The timing of this project feels incredibly relevant given the first story we talked about today. The creator mentions it is built for emergency preparedness, off-grid living, or just tech enthusiasts who want to own their data. And unlike a lot of commercial offline boxes that run on locked-down Raspberry Pis, Nomad is designed to take advantage of beefy hardware, so you can run proper GPU-accelerated AI models locally.
The discussion on Hacker News was super interesting, mostly centering around the concept of prepping. Usually, the word prepper brings up images of people hoarding dehydrated food and building bunkers, but commenters were arguing that in 2026, being digitally prepared is just common sense.
Exactly. One user pointed out that with so many authoritarian governments shutting off the internet the second a protest breaks out, having local access to medical references, repair guides, and maps is a human rights issue. Another commenter said we need to stop using the derogatory term prepper and go back to calling it homesteading. It is just about being self-reliant.
I loved the comment from the guy who said his version of prepping is just having a physical encyclopedia, a Merck medical manual, and a copy of the Pocket RefProc. It is a good reminder that the cloud is just someone else's computer, and when the connection drops, you only own what is physically in your house. Project Nomad feels like the ultimate tech homesteader tool.
It really does. I might actually set one up on my old gaming PC this weekend.
Me too. Well, that is all we have time for today. Five incredible stories that really capture the spectrum of Hacker News, from the heavy realities of AI and warfare to the weeds of JavaScript dependencies and the push for a more resilient offline world.
Thank you all so much for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague. We will be back tomorrow to cover the best of today's Hacker News. Until then, keep building, keep learning, and maybe double check your NPM dependencies.
See you tomorrow, everyone.